have your Bibles tonight, I would like to ask you to please turn to the book of Isaiah. We began studying this morning from Isaiah chapter 33. We tried to look at a couple of verses that talk about the consequence and the fiery judgments of God that come upon the ungodly, but then we tried to concentrate this morning on the great blessings that come to the people of God when they do fear God and keep His commandments. In Isaiah chapter 33, I want to begin again with the verse 15, read verses 15 through 17. Isaiah chapter 33, verses 15 through 17. The Word of God says, "He that walketh righteously and speaketh uprightly, he that despiseth the gain of oppressions, that shaketh his hands from holding of bribes, that stoppeth his ears from hearing of blood, and shutteth his eyes from seeing evil." Now, these are some of the qualifications. These are some things that we have to do. And then verse 16 tells the blessings that come to those who live in a godly way. He says, "He shall dwell on high." And that's not just saying that he's going to be in heaven one day when he dies, but he's going to dwell on high. He's going to dwell in the kingdom of heaven. He's going to be lifted up and sit together in heavenly places while he lives here in this earth. "He shall dwell on high. His place of defense shall be the munitions of rocks. Bread shall be given him. His waters shall be sure. Thine eyes shall see the king in his beauty. They shall behold the land that is very far off." The main expression that we began looking at this morning is found in the 16th verse, the second expression. After the Word of God says, "He shall dwell on high," second promise and blessing that comes to the obedient children of God is, "His place of defense shall be the munitions of rocks." Now, unless the people of God realize how much they need a place of defense, they won't realize what a blessing it is to have a place of defense. Until we realize that Satan is real, that Satan is a liar and a murderer, just like he desired to have Peter, he says, Jesus told him, "Satan hath desired to have you that he may sift you as wheat." If you don't realize that Satan is after you and your family and this church and our nation, then you're not going to realize what a blessing it is to have a place of defense. But if you know that Satan is real, as Peter later wrote and says that Satan is as a roaring lion going to and fro on the earth seeking whom he may devour, if you realize that Satan is really real and desires to destroy your life and can destroy your life unless you find this place of defense, unless you are hiding in this rock that is higher than I, unless you're in the solid rock, unless you're in the cleft of the rock, unless you're in the rock of ages, then you're going to find yourself being destroyed by Satan. So, we don't realize how much we need a place of defense, and yet God's Word gives us this great and wonderful promise, "His place of defense shall be the munitions of rocks." And that's the main expression that we're looking at tonight, is that you have a place of defense, and that place of defense is the munitions of rocks. Not just a rock. There's one great rock, there's one supreme rock, there's one primary rock, and that is God. I'm not going to go back over a lot of scriptures, but I do want to give you one scripture tonight that does emphasize the fact that God is our rock and that it is in Him that we have a place of defense. Back up in your Bibles just briefly to Psalm 18. Back up, please, in your Bibles. No, let's go to Psalm 31. Psalm 31. In Psalm 18, David says that God is his rock, but in Psalm 31, I want you to just read verse 2 for your hearing. In Psalm 31 and verse 2, David is speaking and he says, "Bow down thine ear to me, deliver me speedily, be thou my strong rock for an house of defense to save me." Now, did David need a strong rock? Did he need a place of defense? Did he realize that he needed a place of defense? So he cried out to God and he says, "God, be thou my strong rock." And then he says, "For an house of defense to save me." So So David realized he needed God, and he knew that God was his strong rock and was his place of defense. Just remember now, the text in Isaiah 33:16 says that our place of defense shall be the munitions of rocks. Not just one rock. God is the great rock, and I want you to know that every other rock that you have as a defense comes from the great rock. It all comes from God. But there are other rocks besides God Himself that God has prepared for His people as a place of defense. And besides God as being the great rock, I want all of us to understand that the people of God are rocks. They are munitions of rocks. And when you're around the people of God, and when you're close to the people of God, you're going to find that they are a place of defense. Let's begin by turning in your Bibles to 1 Peter chapter 2. And I want you to see not only is God our rock, but that God has established that the people of God are stones or rocks, and that being around the people of God is important. Do you realize how much you need the people of God? Not just that you need God, but you need the people of God. We need each other. One of the prayers, one of the songs, rather, that's been on my heart a lot this week in thinking and meditating about this is, I need what? I need the prayers of those I love. Now, brethren, when one member of the body gets down, it's so important that they have a place of defense and that they have this munitions of rocks. Not just one rock. They have God as the great rock, but they have a whole lot of other rocks, a whole lot of other stones that run to their aid and provide for them and help them and are praying for them. The Word of God says that when one member of the body suffers, that the whole body is to suffer. When one member rejoices, the whole body rejoices. When one is weeping and sorrowful, the whole body is affected by that. And so it is that just as we have a few members of the body that stand in great need tonight, and the whole body is focusing on them, likewise, when you're in need, when you have a great need, you'll find that the people of God are munitions of rocks. They're a place of defense. Look now at 1 Peter chapter 2. First notice in verse 4, the Word of God says in verse 4 that God is our rock, that Jesus is our rock. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 4 says, to whom? Coming as unto a living stone. Now who is that living stone? The living stone right there. That's Jesus Christ. He says, coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious. Now that's the living stone, that's the rock that we've already looked at. But he says, ye also, that is the people of God, ye also as lively stones are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Now, does the Word of God here establish that the people of God, not just that God is a rock, but the people of God are lively stones. And then you remember the Scripture in Isaiah 33 says that the place of defense, our place of defense, is the munitions of rocks. That's plural, and that's talking about a lot of different rocks, not just one rock alone. You know, the Word of God says in the very beginning of this world, after God had created Adam, and Adam was there in the Garden of Eden and had everything except one thing, what did God say about Adam? It was not good that man should be alone. Why? Because God's the one that created us, and God knows how much we need Him, but God in His infinite wisdom knows that we need other people. The Word of God says it was not good for Adam to live alone. And then as you come through the Word of God, you'll find that two are better than one. Why are two better than one? As you read in the book of Ecclesiastes, why are two better than one? Well, because when one falls down, he has somebody else to help him up. When one is cold, he has somebody to lay with him to get him warm. When one is depressed and discouraged, what does he have? He has somebody else to try to speak words of encouragement to help him up. When one is weak and weary and faint, what does he have? He has a brother or sister in Christ to come along beside him and hold up his arms. You remember who was the man that was in the middle of a battle, one of the battles of the children of Israel, as Moses was standing there holding up his arms. And as long as Moses held up his arms, the Word of God tells us that the army of God, the children of Israel, were victorious in the battle. But Moses' arms got weak and weary. Moses got weary. Though he was a great man of God, he was still a man, and he needed help. And when Moses' arms began to go down, the children of Israel began to lose the battle. And he would lift his arm back up, and they would win the battle. And then they would lose the battle. What happened when Moses was weak? What happened? What were those two men that came? What were their names? All right, Aaron and Hur. They were the two men that came. The Word of God says they did something first. And I think there's a reason for everything in God's Word. The Word of God first says that they took a stone and put it under him for him to sit on that stone. And then the Word of God says that they held up, one held up one arm and one held up another arm. What do you see there? You see there that a child of God who was in great need of help, he was in need of strength, he was in need of a place of defense, that God sent two men to help him in the time of his trouble. And they put a stone under him to hold him up, and then they held up his arms. I'll tell you, there was a literal rock under Moses, but there were two rocks that were beside him that were holding him up and helping him in the middle of that battle. The people of God need to realize that the church of Jesus Christ is like a building of stones. And who is the chief cornerstone of this building? Jesus Christ. But what are the people of God? There are other stones that make up the church of Jesus Christ. They are called here lively stones. I want you to notice in Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2, the Word of God again emphasizes that the people of God are stones. They are a strength. They're a source of defense for the people of God. In Ephesians chapter 2, listen please, beginning in verse 19. Somebody just tell me before I read this scripture, somebody just tell me, how is it that you have ever felt the people of God were a defense for you? How have you ever felt? Now the text says that His place of defense shall be the munitions of rocks. Tell me any way that the people of God, that the church, that the brothers and sisters in Christ, how have they ever been a defense, a place of defense for you? Somebody just tell me any way that they've ever been a place of defense for you. Say it again, Brother Robbie. Prayer. Tell me any time that you've needed prayer. Yes, that was one time that stood out in my mind as soon as you said it. I'll tell you, brethren, there's a man that needed God's help. He was on flat of his back. He needed help. He needed God's help. And God came and delivered him. But listen, brethren, the people of God gathered around him and the whole body began to go to their knees in fervent prayer for God to help him. The people of God were the munitions of rocks that were his place of defense. Unless you're part of a body, that all the living stones are working and laboring together. Unless you're part of a body where the whole church cares about every member of the body, then you don't have a place of defense. You don't have that munitions of rocks. But if you're part of a body that loves each other as the Word of God teaches that we ought to, if you're a part of lively stones, then you have that chief cornerstone, Jesus Christ, but you have other rocks holding you up in addition to Jesus Christ. I would remind you quickly that those other rocks, all the other people of God, they can do nothing to help you without the great rock. I want to never give you the thought and idea that all the people of God can help you without the help of the solid rock, Jesus Christ. But doesn't God use those other rocks to help us? And the other people of God become a place of defense for the people of God. Look now at Ephesians chapter 2. Listen beginning in verse 19. Ephesians chapter 2. In the early part of this chapter, starting in about verse 11, he talks about how what we were, what our condition was without Christ. He says we were strangers and pilgrims. I want you to understand the condition that he describes in verses 11 through 17. He describes a condition where the people of God were away from God. They had no place of defense. They did not have this munitions of rocks. They were without the great rock, and they were without the people of God to help them. But you come down to Ephesians 2 verse 19, you see a great difference now. In Ephesians 2 verse 19, the Word of God says, "Now therefore, ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God." Are you glad to be a part of the household of God? Are you glad to be a part of the church of God? Are you glad you're no more strangers and foreigners, but you're fellow citizens of the munitions, part of that munitions of rocks? He says in verse 20, "And are built upon the foundation." Now usually if I said this is going to be a fill in the blank, and you didn't have your Bibles, and you didn't know what the Scripture said, if I said you have a foundation, what would you say is the foundation? The foundation is what? God or Jesus Christ. But now I want you to notice what the Scripture says here. Verse 20 says, "And are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets." Now are those men, or is that Jesus Himself? Those are men. Now, He does not leave Jesus out. He says they're built upon we are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ Himself being the chief cornerstone. Who gets the preeminence there? Jesus Christ gets the preeminence, but does God also tell us and teach us here that the church and the people of God that we're built upon, though Christ is the solid rock, are the apostles and prophets also part of this foundation? Yes, they are. Now, I'm not detracting from Jesus Christ. I'm just saying the Word of God makes it plain that in addition to Jesus Christ, God has set up the people of God to be rocks. And I want you to notice the next verse. Verse 21 says, "In whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto an holy temple unto the Lord, in whom ye also are builded together for an inhabitation of God through the Spirit." Have you ever seen a rock building? Have you ever seen a building that was built out of rocks or stones? How all those stones and all those rocks, they fit together. It's amazing how they all fit together. Listen, brethren, the church of Jesus Christ, the body of Christ, is more beautiful than any natural building in this world. You could have a building made out of diamonds, and it would not compare to the beauty of the church of Jesus Christ. And you could not have a more secure and safe place to be. You could have Fort Knox if it was built out of rocks. It wouldn't matter what other buildings men make. There is no building, there is no fortress, there is no place of safety and security that compares to the church of Jesus Christ. It's a place of defense. His place of defense shall be the what? The munitions of rocks. You see the church there and the people of God as working together and laboring together and being a source of strength and comfort and protection for each other. Now, go with me back to Zechariah. The easiest way to find this is go to Matthew and back up about 10 pages. Now, I want you to look in Zechariah chapter 9. But we want to get to something besides just that God is our rock and that the people of God are our rock. There's something else that I want us to get to. And we'll begin to touch on it here in Zechariah chapter 9. And then we'll go right back to the New Testament because I want you to see that we have munitions of rocks as a place of defense. And who is the first rock? Who is the primary rock? Who is the great rock? Who is that? That's Jesus Christ or God. And then who are other rocks that we have as a place of defense? The people of God, the brothers and sisters in Christ. Now come to Zechariah chapter 9. Listen to verses 15 and 16. Zechariah chapter 9, verses 15 and 16. The Word of God says, "The Lord of hosts shall defend them." Who's going to defend them? Our place of what? What are we talking about tonight? A place of what? Okay, a place of refuge or a place of defense. A place of refuge, a place of safety, a place of defense. And so verse 15, Zechariah 9, verse 15 says, "The Lord of hosts shall defend them, and they shall devour, and they shall devour." Who is that? They. That's the people of God. You see that? "And they shall devour with, and subdue with," what's the next expression there? "Sling stones." Now, we're going to come right back to that. I want to go on and read the next verse, but I want you to remember that God is our defense, and we will subdue with sling stones. Where does your mind immediately go? Every one of you ought to be somewhere right now. Where are you right now? David and Goliath. All right, there was that sling stone. And the Word of God is giving us, in David and Goliath, we have a literal picture of the kind of spiritual warfare and battle that the people of God have. I'll tell you, brethren, we have munitions. We have ammunition. The people of God have sling stones that we have to use against the giants that we face here in this world. So he says, the Lord of hosts shall defend them, and they shall devour and subdue with sling stones. And they shall drink and make a noise as though as through wine. And they shall be filled like bowls and as the corners of the altar. Now listen to verse 16. And the Lord their God shall save them in that day as the flock of His people, for they shall be as the stones of a crown lifted up as an ensign upon His hand. Are the people of God stones? The people of God, you see in verse 16 again, the people of God are stones. Now, I want us to go back to the sling stones. What's the first rock that is our place of defense? What's the primary place of defense? That's what? That's Jesus Christ. And then we have the people of God as part of the munitions of rocks. His place of defense shall be the munitions of rocks. God is the number one defense. The people of God are also a place of defense. Now, what do you think those sling stones are? Say it again, Sister Cindy. The Word of God. The Word of God. Is the Word of God important to the people of God in fighting as a place of defense? Oh, brethren, I don't know how people live without the Word of God. I need a place of defense. I need God, I need the people of God, and I need the Word of God. What does Isaiah 33:16 say? It says, His defense shall be, His place of defense shall be the munitions of rocks. Now, go with me first to Matthew 16:18. Matthew 16:18. Matthew 16:18, this is where Jesus asked His apostles, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And Peter said, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Now, did Peter speak a great word of truth right there when he said, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God? Now, I want you to listen to verse 18, or 17. After Peter said, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God, verse 17 says, And Jesus answered, this is Matthew 16:17, And Jesus answered and said unto him, that is, He said unto Peter, Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but My Father which is in heaven. Verse 18 says, And I say unto thee, that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build My church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Now, He says, upon this rock I will build My church. I know that Jesus is the foundation of the church. I know that you can read this verse and say that it's Jesus that He had under consideration. He could have been talking about Himself and said, upon this rock, speaking about Himself. He could have said, upon this rock I will build My church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. But it could also mean, upon this truth, that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Upon this truth I will build My church. And brethren, any congregation that does not believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, if they do not believe that He accomplished what He came to do, that He saved His people from their sins, they're not the church of Jesus Christ. Why? Because Jesus says, upon this rock I will build My church. This is not a weak Jesus. It's not a hoping Jesus. It's not a trying Jesus. It's a Jesus that is sovereign in everything He does. And it's upon this rock, this truth, that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. That is the rock that is the foundation of all the truths in God's Word. There are many truths in the Word of God. There are many sling stones that we have. There are many parts of the Word of God that we can use as a place of defense, munitions of rock. Isn't the Bible just a whole storehouse of ammunition? Is the Bible a storehouse of ammunition for the people of God? Back up now to Matthew chapter 4. Let's see Jesus slinging the rocks. Matthew chapter 4, we'll see Jesus using these rocks, Satan comes and begins to attack Jesus Christ. He begins to tempt Him. In Matthew chapter 4, the Word of God says that Jesus went out into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And He had been fasting for 40 days and 40 nights. And the devil said in verse 3, "If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be..." That these... I tell you, it's amazing if you really look at all the Word of God. He says, "Command that these stones be made bread." But He answered and said, that is, Jesus answered and said, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." What was Jesus doing right there? He was using the Word of God as a place of defense. He went to the munitions of rocks. In fact, as you go through Matthew chapter 4, verses 1 through 10, you'll find that every time Satan would say something, Jesus would pull out another rock. He'd pull out another truth. He'd pull out another scripture, and He would always say, "It is written. It is written. It is written." You know what He was doing? He was using those sling stones. Brethren, the munitions of rocks that we have in the Word of God are of immeasurable value. I want some of you just right now, I just want you to tell me any rock that you feel like is a part of the munition of rocks that you have as a place of defense. Tell me any scripture that you have. Tell me any sling stone that you have. Tell me any part of God's Word that you have and you hold to and that you sling at the devil every time he comes and attacks you. Tell me any verse of Scripture that you think of as a rock of defense. Name one. Well, I'll go ahead and name one while you're thinking. Here's one that just came to my mind. It's Psalm 23, verse 1. "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." How many times do you need that rock right there, that truth? How many times do you need to know and be confident that you don't have anything to worry about? That God will take care of you. That it doesn't matter what happens in this world, doesn't matter what happens to our economy or to our nation. We need to know and understand that the Lord is our shepherd. And every time the devil calls you to worry about finances and other kinds of things in your life, you need to just pull out that rock and say, "Jesus is my shepherd. Jesus will take care of me. The Lord is my shepherd and I shall not want." If you pull out that rock and strike Satan in the head with that rock of truth, it'll cause Satan to run and flee, and it'll cause you to feel strong because you've gone to that munitions of rocks and pulled out a stone that struck him dead. Tell me another word of truth, scripture, another statement in God's Word that's important to you as a child of God. Amen. Is that "I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me"? Well, I don't know of anything better than that, brethren. You know, all of God's Word is important. I watched some Army movie this past week, and they had little bitty guns, they had handguns, and they had rifles, but then they had these mortar guns. It was a World War II movie. And better than those mortar guns, when they would fire, it was just amazing the power behind those mortar guns, those mortar shells. And what am I telling you? I'm telling you that there's some of these portions of God's Word, they're like a mortar shell. "I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me." Every time you feel like you can't do something, what can you run to? What do you need to pull out whenever Satan says you can't do something? What do you need to pull out whenever Satan says you don't have the ability to do something? You need to pull out Philippians 4:13 and says, boom. You need to sling this stone and say, "I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me." Is that a powerful rock for you to have in your munitions of rocks? It certainly is. Somebody tell me another important rock that you have in your arsenal of weapons against Satan. Amen. Greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. Oh, brethren, that just brings a lot of other scriptures up. Like, God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Greater is He that is in you. Is Satan strong? Is Satan powerful? What do you need to do? Every time you begin to realize and see how strong Satan is and that he's winning the battle, what do you need to say? Greater is He that is in me than he that is in the world. Christ is in me. I don't have any power in and of myself, but He that is in me, Jesus Christ, He is my source of strength. And so that's a great rock to use. Thank you, Brother Jerry. Somebody else, tell me another rock that you have, Brother Robbie. Amen. John 3:16. For God so loved the world. Brethren, we can't measure the magnitude of the love of God. Some people are afraid of John 3:16. There ought not to be any part of God's Word that you're afraid of. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Brethren, believing in Christ, when we do believe and follow Christ, we will have everlasting life. Tell me another part of the munitions of rock, Sister Michelle. All right, there's a good one. I thought about that. I wrote that one down this afternoon. God said that God's given us this promise. I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Oh, God is my helper. What do I have to fear if God is my helper? If God be for us, who can be against us? Oh, that's a great, great rock. Great bullet. It's a mortar shell to pull out every time the devil begins to attack you. You've got this munitions of rocks. Somebody tell me another verse of Scripture that's part of your munitions of rocks. Amen. Thy word is a lamp. When I don't know what to do, Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. God's word will guide us. Does the word of God teach families how to live? Does the word of God teach you personally how to live? Does it teach us how to be parents? Does it teach us how to be church members? Does it teach us how to be a church? The word of God is all we need. In fact, our articles of faith say we believe the Scriptures of the Old and New Testament to be the inspired word of God and our only rule of faith and practice. That's the only rule we'll ever have in this church is the word of God. It's a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. Somebody else had another rock they pulled out. What was it?
Nothing can separate us.
Amen. Isn't that wonderful? That's what I've got to close with. Let's go to that now. I didn't know if anybody would ever get to the close. And like preachers say, I'm closing, and they don't ever close. But listen, let's turn to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, Brother David went to that one. Romans chapter 8, I just want to close with verses 38 and 39. It's a great blessing to know that nothing can separate us from the love of God. The devil and all of his angels, oh, he may tell you what a sinner you are, and he tells me often what a sinner I am, and I'm not worthy to be in the pulpit. All I can say is, amen, devil. Amen, devil. I don't deserve to be a minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ. But I know that God called me, and I know that by the grace of God, He still blesses me to preach His Word. And I know that God, in His mercy and grace, who saved me, God still blesses me to try to serve Him in this world in spite of my shortcomings. Now, brethren, that's amazing grace. That's amazing grace. Now, Romans 8, verses 38 and 39, here's what Paul says. Here were some rocks now. He says, I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Nothing can separate us from the love of God. You know why? It's because you're holding on to God so good. Isn't that right? No, it's not because you're holding on to God. It's because God is holding on to you. Nothing can separate us from the love of God because we're preserved in Christ Jesus our Lord. Brethren, we have some munitions of rocks in His holy word. Our place of defense, God's word says in Isaiah 33:16, His place of defense shall be the munitions of rocks. What are those rocks? God is the great rock, the people of God are rocks, and the word of God is full of rocks for us to use against the devil. May God help us to always go to the munitions of rocks, for our place of defense is my prayer for Christ's sake.